This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Gretch, I know from my own experience that baby making is not always simple. There is a lack of knowledge surrounding how to get pregnant. And when you want to conceive, there can be a lack of understanding and resources. Frida Fertility is the only one-stop shop that makes it easier to make a baby with a set of solutions for everything from reproductive health to ovulation tracking to conception aid.
Frida is simplifying the journey to parenthood with products that help you go from trying to making a baby. Frida products are innovative, easy to use, and accessible, from ovulation prediction to at-home insemination kits. This is baby making simplified. Find Frida Fertility on Amazon, at Target, and select CVS stores near you. That's Frida Fertility, F-R-I-D-A, Frida Fertility. Hello and welcome to Happier, a podcast about, you guessed it, how to be happier. This week we'll talk about why and how you should toss unnecessary papers and why you might invent your own holiday. I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness, good habits, and human nature. I'm in New York City, and with me is my sister, Elizabeth Kraft. And Elizabeth, you and I have spent many happy hours tossing unnecessary papers together.
That's me, Elizabeth Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in Los Angeles. And yeah, Gretch, if it weren't for you, I would still have the lease on my apartment that I rented in 1994. So.
Oh, I remember that one. That was a good toss. So Elizabeth, in episodes 118 and in 67, so kind of every year, we're talking about design your summer. And I have a couple of ideas about what I am going to do to design my summer. How about you?
Oh, Gretch, I'm having a tough time with this because, you know, my job is starting. My show, The Fix, got picked up on ABC, and it's so huge that it just kind of blocks out everything else,
right,
and makes it hard to plan. So I'm still working on this.
So your summer isn't really going to be a summer.
No, although I'm happy to report, I guess this is one thing I did to design my summer, a week of the summer, which I did in about 15 minutes, which I planned a trip for Adam and Jack and me to go to Hawaii.
Yay! So
it turned out I had a week, so we're doing that. But I don't know what else the summer holds. So it's ongoing. But what about you?
Well, I made a list of some things that I wanted to do. One is I made a list of 10 stores, like kind of crazy stores that I want to visit with Eliza and Eleanor. Because, you know, this is New York City, so there's some really kind of specialty stores that are pretty crazy. I was talking one time to this costumer and makeup artist who was telling me about this, like, Manhattan wardrobe design place, which she says is super cool. They've got, like, fake blood and stuff like that. So I thought, let's just go look around. We don't need to buy any fake blood, but it would be fun to just go check it out. I want to plan a little trip alone with each girl. So I want to go on a trip with just each of us. And I'm going to make a list of people to have lunch with. A couple years ago, I tried to have lunch with somebody every single day. That was too much.
Okay.
That was too much, but I'm working on a list, which I'm going to finish by this at the end of this weekend. And then I'm going to just try to hit those people, which will not be every day, but it'll be a lot of people to see. And also, so my book, Outer Order, Inner Calm, is inching towards being, you know, ready for publication. It's coming out in March. And so in honor of Outer Order, Inner Calm, I'm going to do a deep clutter clearing. We are pretty good down the first and second layers, but then you get into deep clutter. And it turns out Eleanor is ruthless and relentless when it comes to clearing deep clutter. And so I'm going to try to recruit her. I made a list of every room in our apartment, and I want, whenever we feel like it, you know, just from time to time, we're going to tackle room by room and really look for deep clutter. And so I think that's going to feel good.
That'll be good. And Gretchen, we also wanted to give an update on the question that we had in episode 168 about the mother-in-law who kept buying tons of unwanted baby gifts even when asked not to do so. We heard from a lot of people, and many of them suggested directing the gift giving, such as a college fund. But somehow we get the sense that this mother-in-law will not be satisfied with just being like, here's money for the college fund.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like that's going to be her thing.
Yes. People also suggested that you ask the mother-in-law to bring food, like the birthday cake.
And this seemed like it might work. Yeah, because then she's still coming up loaded with treats and everybody will make a fuss. And she's bringing gifts, you know, choosing things and bringing things. So that to me felt like that could be a possibility.
Yeah, that seems like it could work. Another idea came from Karen, who said, I have been invited to a family member's third birthday party, and the note at the bottom of the page said, your presence is all we ask. If you want to bring a gift, we will be donating any gifts to the children's hospital. Perfect solution. The mother wouldn't even have to address the situation with her mother-in-law. If the grandmother brings gifts, the mom can just pass them along to a local charity and nothing ever has to be said.
Right. That's just like on the invitation. So you're not even having the face-to-face encounter. And then this is from Jen. She suggested, my brother and sister-in-law have two solutions to this problem. One, they have asked for all of us to contribute to the 529 plan for the future education of their children. Okay. As many people suggest, see if you can direct it towards the college fund. And two, anything that doesn't fit goes into the grandparents' house and lives there for the children to use when visiting. So anything that the grandmother or the mother-in-law would bring in, you would hand back and say, like, oh, you hang on to this and then you can use it with the baby when you're together at your house.
That's not a bad idea.
That's not a bad idea.
I like it.
Yeah. So thanks, everyone, for weighing in on that.
Yes.
Tricky question. And Alyssa, this week our Try This at Home tip is to toss unnecessary papers. And the thing is, Alyssa, would you agree with me that this, of all the different kinds of clutter, clothes clutter, toy clutter, kitchen clutter, car clutter, all this kind of clutter, the getting rid of papers is really one of the hardest kinds. Like, it's not very satisfying. It's like not as satisfying as cleaning out a closet. And it's really anxiety provoking, I think. What do you think?
Yes, I totally agree, because it feels like, well, I might need that important piece of paper. It's like also because there's that phrase, important papers.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, what constitutes an important paper, you know, in this day and age? Plus, you have to look at every piece of paper. You don't want to just throw out a piece of paper that you haven't looked at, although that's probably not a bad idea. So that is the problem. It's very tough. And also it's like you clear such a small amount of space because, you know, it's just a stack of papers and it's so time consuming.
And yet I feel like it's one of the most deadly and draining forms of clutter. I feel like having those old papers around, it's distracting because like then when you're looking for something that you actually need, you have to kind of like half skim a bunch of stuff, like you're constantly kind of moving things around and sorting them. So it's a very draining kind of clutter. I mean, if you have like a coat closet that you never look at and there's just like a bunch of stuff jammed in there and you never go in and out, it doesn't really weigh on your mind very much. But like papers, every time you open or have to go through them, it just can become really overwhelming.
And it seems like, is there something I should be doing with these papers? It's like there's a lot attached to them.
Yeah, there's a lot attached to it. So here's some questions to ask yourself as you're going through that maybe will clarify your decision making about whether it's appropriate to let go of something. And one of them, and this is one of my favorite of our many adventures in clutter clearing, Alyssa, this is one of my favorite episodes, is the question, do you actually need this piece of paper or receipt? What specific use does it serve? And I remember when we were clearing your clutter one time, you just had these masses of statements from your union, the Writers Guild. And it was this question, like, how do we organize these? And do we need to, like, you know, create some kind of special folder or special notebook or something? And then it was like, do you actually need these statements? And you were like, no, I don't need these statements. I never use these statements. These statements are not nothing that I need. And we just, it was just like huge pile just into the recycling, you know, because once you ask the question, do I need it? No, you don't need it.
Yeah, Gretchen, I have to point out that clutter clearing session is the one where we actually filled up the trash chute.
Yeah.
From my, you know, the apartment in the hallway of my apartment building, there was a trash chute, and we could throw nothing else away because we filled it up.
Yeah. That was, we got a lot done. That was, we were getting
epic.
you packed to move from one apartment to another in Los Angeles. And yes, that was a whole, I should write a short story about that because we had many, many adventures along the way. And by the way, we should say this is probably something that now would be emailed to you. So it wouldn't even appear in clutter. But like, for goodness sake, don't print it out if you don't need it. And then file the thing that you printed out. But we all have stuff like this, even in the age of email, somehow these papers proliferate. And a kind of a related question is, and if you're trying to decide if you actually need it, because sometimes you're like, well, maybe I do need it. Say to yourself, but have you ever actually used it? Because maybe you're thinking like, oh, I really do need this. But then you're like, have you ever used it? Because you probably don't actually need it if you haven't actually used it. Because sometimes we have sort of a theory of the case. This will come in handy one day. But if you've never actually used it, you can probably pitch it.
Yeah. And then there's how easy would it be to replace if you did need it?
Yes.
Except for items like old letters and journals, most things can be replaced.
Yeah. Yeah. So if it's a statement or, you know, there's a lot of things where you can take a risk because if you make a mistake, like if you throw away your old journals, they're never coming back. But a lot of things, it might be kind of a hassle to hunt it down, but you could get your hands on it if it turned out you needed it, if it turned out you made a mistake. So it's not such a high stakes thing to put it in recycling.
And then there's also ask yourself, will it quickly become dated, like travel or shopping information? That's a really good one.
Yeah, I feel like some people really love to keep that sort of stuff around. And it's just now, especially now with the internet, everything becomes dated so quickly. Why are you keeping kind of this static version of it? Like if you've marked it up or it's somehow useful to you, then you are using it. But if you're keeping something kind of as a resource, it probably isn't a very helpful resource because if you actually got to the point where you were planning that travel, you'd say, hey, I better go online and see, like, has the schedule changed? Have things been updated? Is this restaurant even still open in Seattle? You know, you can't depend on it unless it's somehow useful to you. But often you might not. If it was like 10 best restaurants in Seattle, you just look up 10 best restaurants in Seattle today. You wouldn't look at the thing that you had from 2 years ago. It's like, you don't need to keep that.
Yeah.
And related to that, about how the internet sometimes makes some kinds of clutter easy to clear, is like one thing that I keep a lot of that I realize I don't need to keep a lot of is manuals. You know, like you get, like we just got a new toaster because our toaster died. And it's like, it's got this little manual with it. It's like, okay, first of all, do I think that I will ever need the toaster manual? Probably not. And the second of all, if for some reason I do need the toaster manual, like the handle falls off and you think like, oh, is there a way to just like snap this handle back on? You could just look it up online because all the manuals are online. So that's a bunch of stuff that, you know, I used to go out of my way to create sort of a file where I had all the manuals, which of course I never looked at, and I didn't even remember that I had it until it came time to, you know, put it all into the recycling bin. But you can remember that for that sort of information, you can look it up online if you need it.
Yeah, that's probably two drawers, now that you mentioned that, Gretch, we have at home that we could probably just dump, because I think that all has manuals.
Yes, well, it's interesting that you're saying this because I remember in your office, I said, can I throw away these manuals? And you said, no, because that tech stuff is like in Adam's domain and he may want them. You were trying to be respectful.
I'm going to bring it up to him.
Yeah, you could say to him, hey, we'll have more room for your baseball caps if you get rid of your the manuals. All this tech stuff comes with so many gadgets and gizmos and remotes and cables and manuals. And it's just, you know, you're like, do I need any of this stuff? But everything has to be evaluated. And related to that is, and this is, we talked about this before, like, what happens if you don't have this thing? What are the consequences? Like, what if you throw it away and you can't get it back? What happens? Usually not much. You know, it's
like receipts. Aside from something totally sentimental, the only thing it could mean is like a very frustrating, long phone call, like being on hold trying to get something sent to you, right?
Yes. Yeah.
That's the worst that could happen.
Right, right. And here's something that's kind of, I think this is one of the hardest things to let go of. Was something that was once quite useful and necessary, and now it's not, because it's related to a part of your life that's over. And I think a lot of times clutter, at least for me, the form that my clutter takes, I think a lot of people have forward-looking clutter when they're like, I might need this in the future. And then some people have backward-looking clutter, which was like, I loved this, or this was important to me, or this was important to someone I love in the past. Mine tends to be things from the past. I don't really worry about the future, but I hang on to stuff. And it's hard to say, like, well, this was like, oh, this was like a phone sheet for a bunch of people I worked with, but I don't work with those people anymore. I don't need to have their home phone numbers. Or, you know, this is when we were going to this place in the summer, but we don't go to that place in the summer anymore. That chapter's over. Sometimes I like to keep the paper just as like a memento, but it's a very unsatisfying kind of memento. It's not thoughtful. It's not purposeful. It's not beautiful. If I wanted to, I could take a picture of it. If I'm like, oh, there's just something charming about seeing this marked up phone list, or like I did come across this and I was glad I had kept it. I had a summer associate job one time that I hated. I really did not like this job. And I had made a calendar. I had done that thing where you make the calendar of the summer and then you mark off every day.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
I found that. And that was an important memento. So
that's funny.
But for something like that, I could have just taken a picture of it and had the same thing than having the actual artifact. So that I was glad I kept. So I'm kind of contradicting myself because I was glad that I kept that.
And then finally, Gretchen, you tell people never make a folder labeled miscellaneous.
Or anything that's like a paraphrase of that. I literally, and I'm saying this is something that I did like a year ago. I had all these papers lying out on my counter because I have sort of this counter in my home office. And I was like, what am I going to do with these? Like, they don't really go anywhere, but I feel like I need them. They're useful, and yet I never look at them, but they're too valuable. What do I do? So I made a folder called Active Useful Documents. Guess how many times I've looked in that folder?
Never.
Never. Never looked in that folder.
So not useful.
Not useful. It's like, figure
not
active. Yeah. Not active useful folder is just it's just another way to say miscellaneous. I fooled only myself.
That's funny.
Yeah. Now, how about you, Elizabeth? Is there anything that you've struggled with?
Well, you know what paper I struggle with is business cards.
Oh, I'm kind of surprised that you even encounter business cards. Is that
Does
Hollywood have business cards?
They do. You know, I don't have one myself, although I probably should, I guess. But I get them at various meetings I go to, or if it's some gathering. Even in the podcast world, I get a lot of, you know, people give me business cards. And the thing is, whenever I get it, I'm like, oh, I need this business card. But I've never once used one of these business cards. But I feel rude throwing them away because it's like someone's personal information.
Wait, so you keep it not because you're thinking one day I will need this. You're thinking like this is like something related to a person and I need to respect that person's personhood.
Well, it starts with I think I'll use it. And then once I realize I won't use it and I don't even remember like the context for it, then I have just like a feeling of it being like attached to a human being.
Well, this is something that I think is really helpful, which is the longer you hold on to things, the harder they are to get rid of. And so something like a business card, you might really want to just say, like, I'm going to throw it out, like, on my way out of the car.
Yes.
I'm going to stick it in my pocket, and I'm just going to clear my pocket and throw it away right away. Because then, first of all, it doesn't enter into your space. And second of all, you don't start because then when you have a pile of business cards, you're like, oh, what am I going to do with these business cards? I can't just throw them all out. But you really can. You never use them. You never need them. I think also offering a business card, it's just like a gesture. In many situations, I feel like it's a gesture of like, I'm connecting with you.
Yeah.
And it's like shaking hands or something. And so it's done its job, you know, as Marie Kondo would say, you know, it's like fulfilled its little destiny as being an object, a token of connection. And now you can put it in the recycling bin.
Okay, I'm going to start doing that.
but I'm so glad you mentioned this because I actually have a notebook that has pages that have specific pockets that are exactly the size of business cards. And for a long time, I would put business cards in there. And I loved it because it was such a cunning solution for what do you do with your business cards. But I realized I haven't looked in that thing for like 7 years.
Right. So you can just toss those.
I'll just give it to Goodwill. Because it is, like, if you are a person who uses it, this could be a very handy thing, but I'll toss the business cards and I'll get that thing off my shelf. It's taking up valuable bookshelf real estate in my office, and I had never reconsidered it. This is good. Yeah.
All right, we got to go clear papers, Gretch.
There's never an end to it. I feel like I've done it a million times. I'm going to do it another one, like, as soon as I get home. Let us know if you do try this at home and how tossing unnecessary papers works for you. And what are the questions, the strategies, the tips, the mantras that you use to help you make it easier to decide what's worth keeping and then what's really worth sticking in the recycling? Let us know on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Drop us an email at podcast@gretchenrubin.com or go to happiercast.com/172 for everything related to this episode.
Coming up, we've got what I would call a very festive happiness hack. But first, this break. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Gretchen, when I started my career, therapy really helped me work through all of my stresses so that I was able to concentrate at work and do a good job.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GretchenRubin today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. .com/GretchenRubin.
Gretch, I love eating sandwiches, like a grilled cheese or a peanut butter sandwich is my ideal lunch, but I'm very aware of my carb intake, so oftentimes I avoid sandwiches. Luckily, Hero Bread has remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories. Plus, it has protein and fiber. I have been using it to make grilled cheeses, and I use their tortillas to make a cheese quesadilla, and I am in heaven.
Hero Bread tastes great, has a terrific texture, and helps you meet your nutrition goals. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use happier at checkout. That's happier at hero.co. And now, Elizabeth, it's time for a happiness hack.
Yes, this hack comes from Sarah. She says, my friends and I sometimes find it challenging to spend holidays together, so we created our own holiday. 11/11 is Angel Day. We vote on something we'd all like to do together and celebrate being together. We write cards with wishes for the coming year, and we build onto it each year.
Now, I love this idea, Elizabeth, because it's sort of a mashup of several ideas that we've talked about. Mm-hmm. One is in episode 158, we talked about creating a standardized vacation. But with this idea, you don't even necessarily have to plan a trip. You could live in the same city and like make a plan to get together for lunch or coffee. Or if you can't even get together, you could still celebrate it by sending cards and messages and things like that.
Yes.
And it's the note of whimsy from episode 146. This is just fun. Like they have Angel Day, but you could have it anything you wanted to make it like as fun and crazy as you thought.
Yes, and it's also related to one of your favorite things, Gretchen, and we talked about it in episode 88, which is celebrate minor holidays.
Right. So in our house, we make a big deal of things like St. Patrick's Day, Valentine's Day, because the big holidays sometimes get to be so much work that it can be a little overwhelming. So it's fun to just have a playful holiday. And I love the idea of just like creating your own holiday, whatever suits you. Just pick a date.
Yeah, it's fun. It kind of reminds me of recently, Gretch, with the royal wedding.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of women, at least in my world, turn that into kind of a holiday.
Yes.
And got together and had parties and, you know, wore hats. I mean, I did. and it was just fun because it was something special. And so whenever you sort of create a special day, it brings out everybody's festive side.
Well, and I think this is the thing. You need a prompt. You need a catalyst. And so sometimes people, like, you know, people complain about Mother's Day or Father's Day and saying it's, or Valentine's Day and say it's an artificial holiday. It's like forced on us. By, you know, like consumerism that we have to participate in this. But the fact is, I think it's great to have a reason to think like, wow, I really, like, let me think about my mother. Let me call my mother. Let me send my mother a card or a present. And same thing with your father. Like, you need something to remind you. It's not that you don't believe it all days of the year, but you need something that's like, okay, I'm going to focus on this relationship right now. And so if you said, oh, well, with these people, I want to have that moment, then you can create it yourself. And, you know, we all need an excuse to buy fun cards, I think. I love buying fun cards, but when do you send them? To whom? It's like, I would love to have a reason to, like, you know, plan a fun get-together and send people my good wishes.
Yeah, and it's a great idea that they made it an easy-to-remember date, like 11-11.
Yeah.
Because that will help everybody stay on board.
Yes, yeah. Well, Elizabeth, as you know, my wedding anniversary is, by total coincidence, we did not plan this, is 9/4/94. And that has been so useful to me because otherwise I'm sure I would have no recollection of what my wedding anniversary is. And I know MIT, I think I mentioned this before because I was so enchanted by this, MIT sends its college admissions notifications on March 14th, Pi Day, 3.14.
Yeah.
So if you're picking your day, pick a cool day. Pick a day that's memorable for some reason. Because, if people can remember it, it'll be easier to celebrate it.
So thank you, Sarah, for such a fun hack. We should all go out and invent our own holiday.
Absolutely. And now, Elizabeth, it's time for a happiness stumbling block. And this is, I think, a stumbling block that we all experience. Maybe it's part of the human condition. And it takes many forms. But it's the stumbling block of, like, when you're feeling frustrated by other people because they, for some reason, are just not seeing things clearly, you know? And you're thinking, why is it that I'm the only one who understands what's really going on here? And the fact is that we all need to remember is each of us may not be as right as we think we are.
Yeah, that's a very good point. One that I think we all have trouble grasping.
Yeah, because we all think that we see the world clearly. I mean, it's just you think you see the world the way that it is and that everyone sees the world the way that you do. I mean, one of the things about studying the four tendencies and studying habit change and happiness, it's just striking to me. It's surprising to me how often people really just do view different situations from different perspectives. I mean, Lizzie, you talk a lot about reframing and the power of reframing. That's really just saying you can see the world in a different way. You can choose to see a different reality if you set this thing up in your mind. It's just crazy how often people just don't see the world in the same way.
Yeah, it's not that anyone is trying to thwart you. It's that they honestly see it differently. And they're just as bewildered at the way you see the world as you are and the way they see the world.
Right. And what's fun about this is it's true, like, as we're talking about it with ideas and perspective, but it's also true this in the sheer perception of the world. Like, literally, what are you seeing? What are you hearing? And there's all these crazy examples. So let's go through some of the ones that have, like, kind of been in the news. So one is, well, an obvious one is optical illusions. We've all seen a million optical illusions. We all know how you can see different things. And that's part of the fun of optical illusions is how people perceive things differently. Here are some other ones. Do you remember a couple years ago when there was that gigantic thing on the internet where there was that dress?
Yes.
It was either, people thought it was either white and gold or blue and black stripes. And what was crazy about it was how much people were unable to see what others saw. It was like you saw what you saw, and it was unthinkable that anybody could. People were just bewildered, as you say, because it's like, what is this? I saw what turned out to be the more common perception, which is white and gold. I saw absolutely 100% a white and gold dress. What did you see, Elizabeth?
White, gold as well.
So guess what? It was actually blue and black.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
So I will post a link in the show notes. Again, this is episode 172. If you don't remember this or if you want to look at the dress again, and the what I'm going to link to has a picture of the dress under like clear light. So you will see the actual dress so that you can compare it to what you thought you saw. So that's so interesting. So I'll post a link to that. Now, just recently, a little while ago, there was kind of a similar sensation, this time through audio. Elizabeth, were you part of the whole Yanni Laurel thing? Did you tap into this?
Yes. It was, yes. There was a word that some people heard Yanni and some people heard Laurel. I heard Yanni.
I did too. But the thing is, you were like, it's nowhere close to Laurel. It's like, how is anybody? I thought it was like some kind of weird prank, or like if everybody says they hear something, then you go along with it, like one of those psychology experiments. But then, everybody's punked. It was crazy. Let's hear it.
Yanni.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it
clearly Yanni to me.
Yeah. So I will put a link to an article about this if you want to understand more, like how this came out. It was some students actually who discovered it on a pronunciation website and noticed that people were perceiving it differently. But what they're saying is that there's two things going on. One is your ears and the other is your equipment could be influencing this, but people definitely hear different things. And then in the link, it'll show you how you can move the frequencies around so you can hear it go from Yanni to Laurel. It's quite interesting. So here's, Elizabeth, like a less kind of five senses kind of thing. And this is more like, what is the meaning? So I'm going to read you this statement and you tell me what you think it means. This is an aphorism. Give me 6 hours to chop down a tree and I will spend the first four sharpening the axe. Is this about the nature of procrastination or is this about the value of preparation?
I interpret that as being about the value of preparation.
Okay, see, when I read that, I thought it was about procrastination, which surprised me when I realized that the person who'd said this was Abraham Lincoln. Mm. So when, and I felt like once I knew Abraham Lincoln was the person who said it, then I was like, then I saw this other meaning. But my automatic assumption was that it was about procrastination. So it's like, that's Abraham Lincoln, you know, famous communicator. Now, and here's something interesting, back to sight. As we get older, and I know this because I'm obsessed with color, as you know, I'm working on my color pilgrimage, and so I've been doing all this research on color, and it turns out that as you get older, you see the world yellower. That over time, our lenses, the lenses of our eyes get yellowish, and so we look at things as if we're looking through a yellow filter, and that can make it hard to distinguish blue from purple and yellow from green and yellow green, especially when colors are washed out, it gets hard. And Elizabeth, do you remember when Dad had his cataracts removed? He remarked how much bluer the world looked. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. He said everything looked so clear and so blue. He hadn't realized that what he was seeing was becoming more yellow. And so again,
his
if somebody says like...
perception had changed.
Yeah. So if you say to somebody, does this lipstick look good on me? Mm. Like they will actually see a different color.
Wow. Yeah, and Gretchen, we should talk about, you know, this sort of the psychic meaning of our different perceptions and how it relates to the happiness stumbling block of always thinking we're right.
Yeah. But Elizabeth, before we get to that, can I give one more example? And then we'll get to like the point of this. Okay, because I just can't resist. So you don't smell your house the way a guest smells your house. Like, so you, if you've ever noticed, like people, you can't smell your own house. And it's interesting because when your brain perceives a scent to be non-threatening, like it's perceiving a scent to be happening over and over, it decides, well, there's no need to pay very close attention to it. And there was this one study where the researcher gave people air fresheners that had this pine smell, and they put them in their bedroom for 3 weeks. And people started to say, oh, it's not working anymore because they could no longer smell the pine smell. Well, it was working. They just couldn't perceive it. And so, scientists think it's because what's important about smell is to help us detect change in our environment. And so if it's predictable, you don't need to pay attention to it. And so it fades out. And so it's really true. You know, your house could have a very powerful smell, a good smell or a bad smell, and you can't smell it.
Well, that's kind of frightening.
Yeah. But Elizabeth, to your point, like this is just a reminder of you know, and I have this all the time. I'm like, you know, why can't other people, why don't other people just get with the program? Or like, why don't they understand what's going on here? It's like, people see the world differently. They have a different perspective. They might literally be seeing colors differently, but they also might just think what's important in a situation is different. The responsibilities are different. The values that are at play, a different value is more important to them than a value is important to you. It's hard to hang on to that.
Yeah, I think it goes to don't assume the worst, or don't yes. assume that someone is really just trying to mess you up.
Yeah.
It really, you know what I mean? They really yeah. may have the best of intentions.
Yeah.
And sometimes even just knowing that, even if you can't reach agreement because yes. because the two of you truly don't agree, you can at least sort of ease the anger and resentment.
Yes.
That you carry out of the situation. And that's really what the stumbling block is all about our internal frustration over these situations.
Right, right. When we don't understand why people aren't acknowledging what is true and real, but to remind ourselves, well, they may have a different view that's true for yes. them. Even if they're hearing Annie and I'm hearing Laurel, it's not mm-hmm. that one person's right and one person's wrong. It's just that we're experiencing the world in a different way. So if anybody has other examples of that, I feel like it's kind of an abstract thing to have an example of. But if you have other good examples of that, I am fascinated by these. Mm-hmm. I think it's just, how is it possible that half the world sees a blue and black dress and half the world sees white and gold? And yet it's true. So send us any examples that you have of things like that. So interesting.
Yes. Gretch, this goes in our house. We have the great blue-green debate. Adam and I do not agree on what is blue and what is green.
Really? Ooh, I'm going to like get into that the next time I come visit you guys. That okay. fascinates me.
Coming up, I give myself a dry cleaning demerit. But first, this break.
Homes.com knows that when it comes to home shopping, it's never just about the house or condo. It's about the home. And what makes a home is more than just the house or property. It's the location and neighborhood. If you have kids, it's also schools, nearby parks, and transportation options. That's why Homes.com goes above and beyond to bring home shoppers the in-depth information they need to find the right home. And when I say in-depth, I'm talking deep.
Each listing features comprehensive information about the neighborhood, complete with a video guide. They also have details about local schools with test scores, state rankings, and student-to-teacher ratio. They even have an agent directory with the sales history of each agent. So when it comes to finding a home, not just a house, this is everything you need to know all in one place. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The national sales event is on at your Toyota dealer, making now the perfect time to get a great deal on a dependable new car.
Like a legendary Camry, built for performance and available with all-wheel drive, you can count on your new Camry to get anywhere you need to go. And with available features like heated seats and a multimedia touchscreen, you can stay connected in comfort and style.
Or check out an affordable and reliable Corolla with a trim for every lifestyle, from the hip and agile sedan to the sporty hatchback. There's a dependable Corolla built just for you.
Plus, both Camrys and Corollas are available in hybrid models, so no matter your style, you can drive efficiently and affordably.
So visit your local Toyota dealer and check out amazing national sales event deals on Camrys, Corollas, and more when you visit buyatoyota.com.
Toyota, let's go places.
Okay, Elizabeth, it's time for demerits and gold stars, and we take turns giving demerits and gold stars, and this is your turn for a demerit.
Yes. So, Gretchen, I have been wearing a lot of nice outfits lately. In the wake of my show going to series, there's lots of meetings and lunches and dinners. And,
so
you know,
you've actually been wearing clothes.
Yes. Yes. I'm actually wearing real clothes a lot of the time. And what I have found myself doing, and I know many of our listeners struggle with this as well, is if I wear something just for a couple of hours and I could wear it again, it doesn't really need to be cleaned. Rather than hanging it up and putting it back in the closet so that I could use it again, I put it on the floor or on top of my laundry basket, thinking I'll hang it up later. And then it inevitably gets all crumpled and mashed in with my other dirty clothes. And then I do have to dry clean it again. So I'm doing way more dry cleaning than I need to do, which is, you know, extremely expensive.
Yeah, dry
cleaning
is so
expensive.
And not
great for the environment as well. So it's like there's nothing good about doing more dry cleaning than you need to do.
Plus, it's a hassle.
It's a huge hassle.
But Elizabeth, you have a steamer. You have like a real proper steamer. Have you thought of steaming these, like if it's a shirt or something like that got wrinkled?
I have not, but that is a good idea. I should do that.
Yeah.
That could definitely, in some of these instances, help me out. Of course, what I really should do is just hang them up after I wear them.
Yeah.
But if I don't do that, I should try a steamer because that it's like $10 for every item. So that could save me hundreds of dollars.
Well, and I remember because you have a it's like the kind of steamer. I feel like this is like the kind of steamer that a real adult has where it's like sits on the floor and it's real, a real piece of thing. And when we were clearing your closet, I was like, oh, I wish I had room for this. I would love to have a steamer, but I just don't have it. I would have to like leave it in the middle of the bedroom. So I have like a little travel one that doesn't work very well. But it's like, oh, I want Elizabeth's steamer. That's a great steamer. It's like mom's steamer. Yeah. So try using your steamer.
Okay. I will try that. Okay, Gretch, what is your gold star this week?
Oh, I love this gold star. Okay. Background. I love scratch and sniffs. I have always loved scratch and sniffs. And Elizabeth, you are a hero in my world of scratch and sniffs because growing up, you had a collection. You awoke to the power of the scratch and sniff before I did. And you had, we still have it. Mom and Dad still have this basket with your massive collection of scratch and sniffs. I feel like this
is some of them even still smell.
Oh, a lot of them still smell. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The grape ones and the pickle ones.
Banana.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. It's super fun. Even for my book, Happier at Home, in which I talk about my obsession with smell, we gave out, as part of the promotion, a bookmark that had scratch and sniffs on it. So I got to create my own little scratch and sniffs. And I feel like, actually, to any entrepreneurs out there, I feel like scratch and sniff is really, it could be the new temporary tattoo. Like, there's a lot that we should all be doing with scratch and sniffs. They're so fun. And the U.S. Postal Service rose to the challenge of the scratch and sniff. And yes, they are releasing their first scratch and sniff postage stamps on June 20th. They are watercolor images of ice pops and ice cream bars, and they will have a sweet summer scent that they are not disclosing anything else yet. So I'm very excited to check out my first scratch and sniff postage stamp.
The world just keeps evolving.
And that is it for this episode of Happier. Remember to try this at home. Toss unnecessary papers. Let us know if you tried it and if it worked for you.
Thank you to our producer, Odelia Rubin. Also, thanks to Andy Bowers and Kristen Meinzer of Panoply. Get in touch. Gretchen's on Twitter at Gretchen Rubin, and I'm at Elizabeth Kraft. Our email address is podcast@GretchenRubin.com.
As always, if you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend and subscribe to us, rate and review us wherever you listen to your podcast. Now, for the resources, talking of scratch and sniffs reminds me of how much I love temporary tattoos, and we have Happier temporary tattoos for the Happier podcast. You can email me, and I will mail you a temporary tattoo, but be sure to include your mailing address because this is an actual thing that I will mail to you. And I'm sorry, but I can only do this in U.S. and Canada because of mailing costs. This is actually something that I will mail, so I'm very, very sorry for our listeners who live in other parts of the world, but I can do it to some degree. And we also want to remind you of the other Unwired Project shows, Happier in Hollywood, of course, where Elizabeth and Sarah talk about their fabulous adventures in Hollywood every week on Happier in Hollywood. And then if you want to have a podcast every day, a short, brilliant, thought-provoking podcast, check out Chris Guillebeau's podcast, Side Hustle School, where he talks about just a multiplicity of ideas, strategies, and tips for getting going on your side hustle. The mantra of Happier in Hollywood is, Elizabeth,
it's a fun job and we enjoy it.
Yeah, and the mantra for Chris's show is, Inspiration is good, but inspiration plus action is so much better.
Until next week, I'm Elizabeth Kraft.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin. Thanks for joining us. Onward and upward. Already?
Gosh, I think
that felt
we
short.
Went long on that one. I don't know about you, but I'm always looking for ways for my son to get involved and give back in our local community. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Student Visionaries of the Year, a campaign by Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, the largest nonprofit organization dedicated to creating a world without blood cancers.
Student Visionaries of the Year is a 7-week philanthropic leadership development program for high school students. Participants form strong teams and fundraise in honor of a pediatric blood cancer survivor in their local community. This program is transformative. It not only helps students develop valuable life skills like project management, communication, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship, not to mention it looks great on college applications, but most importantly, is also a chance for them to engage in meaningful work within their community and make a real impact on blood cancer patients and their families. You can learn more about Student Visionaries of the Year or even nominate a student at lls.org/students. That's lls.org/students.